exposure. Tel Aviv, meanwhile, classifies materials in an inaccurate and biased manner that suits the Zionist narrative. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Rana Sila, researcher. This article is published under the heading How Zionist Regime Erases Palestinian Cultural Memory. Stay tuned for more. The Zionist regime looting of Palestinian cultural and historical archives since the first half of the 20th century has been exposed and discussed for only around the past two decades. The seized Palestinian archives, collections and materials, cultural and otherwise, were typically surveyed and studied by the Zionist regime's intelligence and transferred to the pre-regime and regime's colonial archives, both military and civilian. In many cases, Palestinian cultural property looted by individuals was also put in the Zionist regime's official archives. An archive serving to preserve historical memory would catalog the context, origin, purpose, and authors of the materials, all of which would be easy to glean in the case of these materials seized by the fake regime of Israel. The Zionist regime's purpose, however, is not to preserve Palestinian historical memory, but to erase it from the public sphere. Therefore, Palestinian materials are not catalogued and treated according to archival standards and conventions, but are instead subjected to colonial ones. The seizure of Palestinian cultural materials does not stop with the physical act of confiscation. The Zionist regime hides the materials in its archives, limiting access and preventing their exposure. The Israeli regime, meanwhile, classifies materials in an inaccurate and biased manner that suits the Zionist narrative. For example, the materials looted from Beirut are listed in the Zionist regime's military archives as the PLO archive, a body that never existed. Some individual Israelis are directly responsible for the looting of Palestinian materials in wartime and during military operations, but the Zionist regime society as a whole is implicated. Erasure is central to Israeli regime apartheid, and citizens, including artists, creators and film directors, not just the military, politicians and archive personnel. They play a role in the colonial process of elimination of Palestinian past. The 2018 exhibition Stolen Arab Art at Tel Aviv Center for Art and Politics included screenings of video works by famous Arab artists without their consent, knowing permission would be denied due to the cultural boycott of the Zionist regime. The exhibition was thus widely condemned within the Israeli regime art world. This is hardly the only case of Israelis using Palestinian cultural materials without their author's permission, thereby replicating colonial methods of erasure and control. While Stolen Arab Art forthrightly indicated that the display violated the creator's rights, the 2021 documentary A Real War, Shalal by Karnit Mandel, misleadingly implies that footage by Palestinian revolutionary filmmakers was included with the permission of its owners. In A Real War, Mandel discovers where the films were taken from. Much of the relevant information is in the credits of the film, so the supposed discovery is relatively minor but does not bother to interview with their creators or their families. Mandel's film emerges as another colonial act in the ongoing destructive movement against Palestinian culture and history. Mandel sought permission to use material from Sapri Geriz, the last director of the Palestine Research Center, established in 1965, while it was still based in Beirut. Academic in nature, it was founded to document and research Palestinian history and to publish books and articles devoted to the subject. Whether Geriz has authority to grant such permission is not addressed in the film. The principal doubt: how does one ask permission from someone that does not have the authority to give such permission does not come up.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Viewpoints here on IRIB English Radio. In the studio with me, I'm joined with my two honorable brothers and special guests, Brother Habib and Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum, gentlemen.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you so very much for being with us and sharing with us your time. It's an honor, as always, to be able to have insightful and exciting discussions with you guys. Today, usually I feel like the discussions we have are so passionate and fiery, which is a good thing, you know. As a listener, I'd like to listen to...
With your popcorn, of course.
I'd like to listen to vibrant discussions. But today's topic, I chose a mellow one, right? I chose a mellow one that we can just agree on and nod our heads and smile and in agreement. I wanted to... And it's important now, especially because I feel like the world has someone hit the restart button on the world after the pandemic, and now we're refiguring out how to navigate in society again after isolation and quarantine and the paranoia that came with not having physical contact with anyone. And now we have to relearn certain things, and maybe it's a good chance for us to reestablish certain values and rediscover assets and capitals that we have within our culture, our religious culture. One of those cultures I find is the masajid, right? The masajid, and maybe not even necessarily masjid per se, not that place where the khutbah has been recited and it has certain religious sanctities. Centers, Husseiniyat, in Farsi, they have a lot of synonyms for these words, right? and just places of gathering and how important they are in our religious identity.
There are some kind of, let's say, adab, manners in the masjid,
etiquettes
that we must follow. The concept of taslit al-subyan wal majanin, letting the insane, people with mental disabilities and children enter the mosques and to play in the mosques.
What about it?
It is unrecommended to do so.
So we're not, it's not recommended, but this...
Please tell the common...
Yes, I'm going to talk about it right now.
It contradicts what we're saying entirely. That,
and the whole Prophet and Hassanain, while they're playing on his shoulder.
We're coming to that. We'll come to that as well. Okay. We'll come to that as well. No problem.
Do it quick, because we've got 30 minutes.
I think this is the place, not for Shazub Zatrek.
The concept is that a Subyan, there are two choices to them. That either the children, either they're going to come to the masjid and play, or they're going to come to the masjid and learn. If they're going to come and play, let them play somewhere else. The masjid is a holy place. I mean, like when you have an important mu'amala or important business and your children are playing around you, I'm talking about Arabs, they will stop that. They will stop that child. This is your business. Business. But how about the masjid? Is your religion less important than your religion, than your business? That's why they, also the insane people who come, I've seen it with my own eyes. We're praying. This mentally disabled guy making fun of the prayers, making sounds.
Okay, I think what we're trying to say here is not to it's not taking your children and the mentally impaired to massage it.
Respecting
it's the point. The fact is that because see that literally contradicted with everything because. Every time we talk about masajid and the importance of it and how it builds a community, y'all build a community when they're toddlers. Y'all don't build a community when they're 75. Right? From the time they're toddlers, you raise them in the community, in the Islamic community.
You don't raise them. You can, look, you can't force
concerns,
a child.
Sheikh, your concerns are good and respected. But we have been told, again, the solution have been told to us. Took your children to the masjid so that they learn how to go to masjid.
Exactly.
Right?
That's when you know that they're going
to
learn.
So the intention of the people with that is not to take them to masjid to play, right?
Can they control them?
Sorry?
I'm talking right now. We're talking ideas right now.
So the learning is, again, involved here.
When you take them to masjid.
So this is what I'm saying. See, since we're talking about masajid, I started with saying that masajid or, right? Because a lot of Western countries don't have the privilege of establishing a masjid for their community. A lot of non-Muslim countries don't have that privilege, minorities that live there. But since y'all are stressing, just a sec, since y'all are stressing on masjid anyway, as a holy, sacred place where the teachings of Islam are imparted onto the community it is commissioned to build, and that community must be built from a young age, that masjid is obligated by logic, and most probably religion, I really am not one to talk, to accommodate to the needs of the smallest members of its community, which are the children. Y'all have to have places for kids to keep be occupied while their parents pray. Y'all have to have even a yard as small or as big as it can be for kids to be running around and screaming their lungs out so they don't cause disturbance for the lecturer. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to build a community, we got to take all those aspects into consideration and facilitate for it.
Can I just, look, I didn't want to go into these details to talk about how we raise children and the age that is appropriate to raise the children and when to start bringing them to the masjid, when to start teaching them prayers and the teachings that are available. I want to talk about this. We're saying as an example of teaching them religion. All right, let's take this general concept.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm stressing on this. No.
What?
I'm stressing on this. Familiarization.
Familiarization
y'all
with religion.
Y'all don't have to teach your
kids
to pray, to say anything, just for them to
breathe
that air.
No problem. I'll stay quiet on this topic. But what is important to me is that there are specific laws for the masjid. That's what I want to reach.
True.
For example, like ha'idh cannot enter, a woman on her period cannot enter the masjid, right?
True.
You cannot bring in that najasa. For example, the moral of not raising your voice.
Mm.
The moral
of... Yeah, exactly. That's what I was in the beginning.
These laws kind of are the reasons why we made specific places where we mourn.
And we explained that earlier.
Yeah, I know. Well, I said I agree to you to the extent, brother. Mm. That's what I mean to the extent. But I prefer that the mosque should be for not to bring up poems, not to bring up eulogies. Yes, when the imam, for example, of that mosque wants to talk about the topic of Imam Hussein, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
That it's better to bring it up in the mosque. But there are specific places where everyone is available. Everyone can watch.
So right? Are you saying that masajid are just for prayer?
I'm not saying for they're for worship.
So what is the function? All right, now that you've established what you've established, tell me what is the function of a masjid?
They're equal. They're equal. The masjid and the Husseiniyyah to bring up the community events that we do for Imam Hussein. I in my eyes I see them as the same.
No, I think we should not look at them as equal because we can find a solution for that. We can add a part of building or land to masjid for
as
those who have problem, right?
To
solve the other part,
they put
the
signs
other issues.
In the women's
but
section. I'm
we
sure
have
you've
to
never
insist,
been.
Sheikh, not to actually make any distance from people. From not to make any distance between people and masajid. Mm-hmm. We have to, alleviate the way for the people to come to masajid. They have to feel very easy to go to masajid mm-hmm. in different areas, in different parts of the city. Yes, I do not disagree with Husseiniyat. I love them. I myself attend some Husseiniyat and Taqiyya. So there are some programs. Then when there is no program, for example, in a masjid, all of the people, all of the Muslims go and attend. But I think if they cannot even be compared from the viewpoint of importance. While in a purifying place, you are sitting and listening to the ma'arif, to the knowledge that comes.
Can I say something? The fact is, I understand what you're saying. It's clear to me. I think it's also clear to the listeners. But there's this fact that the masajid is not for anyone. It's for everyone. It's not for one person precisely.
Definitely.
Like, I want to go pray right now. The masjid door is closed.
Is.
No one has no right to close the doors of the masjid. Makan
mm-hmm.
umumi. It's a public place,
place.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there's specific laws. Like if I sit down over here, no one has the right to tell me to go. All right. If it's for worship, if it's for doing this. If I want to come in, for example, do this. It's for me. It's a public domain. Like,
what do you mean?
Like for the Husseiniyyah, it can be said, this is not a public place. This is a place where we do this program and that program.
For sure,
so if you come and pray, mm-hmm. We're not contrasting. Unlike the person that's in the masjid.
Mm-hmm.
The person in the masjid, I want to pray right now. This is none of your business. I want to pray. Mm-hmm. I want to do this. This publicity kind of, breaks it. Because I've seen problems. That's mm-hmm. This is why I'm saying. I've seen problems with when we do in the mosque, in the masjid. And that is why some communities that I'm pretty much thinking of made a Husseiniyyah next to the mosque.
All right, so bottom line, what is the function of a masjid?
Actually, look at the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever he did in masjid. All of his affairs
were
done in
masjid.
No, even
his
lectures, his government was in masjid, Sheikh.
Why do the scholars claim that it's unrecommended to do qada or judgment inside of the masjid? Amir al-Mu'mineen Aysam did it.
The Holy Prophet did it as well.
Mm.
The kind of judgment that he made for the brother of Uthman. I don't want to mention it in this show. And he was waiting for the others even to do the had of
yes,
him
yes.
in the masjid, but no one did.
Yes.
That's why he left.
Yes.
Right? So, whatever the Holy Prophet... Look, masjid is a multi-purpose place.
Exactly.
I mean, all actions in masjid are looked as worship.
In a lot of
because
countries...
Because we look at the masjid with this, let's say, with this functionality, whatever we are doing there is ibadah, is worship, right? So everything,
and that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
This is the beauty of a masjid. So, look, I do agree with Sheikh with some, let's say, conditions that Husseiniyat are needed also to be. We are not going to say that, okay, all the doors of Husseiniyat and Taqiyya should be closed. No, in comparison to see the importance and priority of Masajid, they cannot be compared. This is what we wanted to say.
Weddings are held at masajid. Funerals are held at masajid. Congregations are held at masajid. Prayers are held at masajid. Mm-hmm. Walimas are held at masajid. And then the mourning ceremonies for Imam al-Hussein is held at masajid. And, you know, like you said, it's a multi... And then there are, the youth center of that community is in the masajid. The classes for the Quran classes, ethic classes, ahkam classes for women held at that very masajid. You know, it's when we want to say build a community, this is what a community building location does, right?
Yeah.
It caters to all of the community's needs. Often, if it has a resident imam... And couples, conflicting couples, have a problem and they need to talk to them. They refer to the masajid. It literally accommodates...
It's community center.
Yeah, all the needs and all the requirements of that community that wishes to be, to remain in connection with Islamic teachings and Islamic cultures. And I think that's all the time we have.
I want to say that in case we strengthen the family basis and the family foundation and also connect it to masajid in a strong way, we are going to reach to what happened in the dawn of Islam with the role and the function of masajid. Well, because I think in the time that we are in the era that we are in, we are far from whatever has been done in masajid earlier. You see, everything.
Yes,
so I think we have to actually revive these relations, strengthen the relationship.
Start by opening the doors other than the times of prayers.
Definitely. So we have to solve these issues. I think to focus on such issues is much more better.
Thank you so very much, gentlemen, for your input. And thank you to our listeners for being with us. I hope you had some positive takeaways from today's discussion as well. Until another greeting, I leave you all in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahumma ja'al mahya ya mahya Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. I swear to Allah, you have shown us so much courage through the pain. You sacrificed your family and were killed thirsty for Hussein.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and on the eve of the martyrdom anniversary of the survivor of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, we present you a wise statement from him. Refrain from lying in all things, big or small, in seriousness or in jest. For when one starts lying in petty matters, soon he will have the audacity to lie in more important matters as well.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
The forest management plays a key role in mitigating climate change. Like many world countries, China has accelerated environmental and social structural changes in urban spaces to deal with this pertinent issue. The Donggu Forest Park is one such project that has provided city dwellers enough space to breathe. It comes into being from what local people usually called rotten woods. The park on the northern bank of the Xialinge River covers an area of nearly 120 hectares. Nobody would come there before, as the place was full of flies and mosquitoes. But now, with the environment improved and water cleaned in the river, the place has turned into a wonderland, attracting locals and even foreign tourists.
Now the sky is blue, the water clean and the air fresh, with green greeting you wherever you go. The elderly play Tai Chi or do bodybuilding exercises here. Young people play football, basketball and table tennis.
Over the past 20 years, a large number of cities in China have undergone a brief but rapid urban expansion. Most of these cities are now facing social problems such as an aging population and a high prevalence of chronic diseases. A comprehensive environmental improvement program in the area was initiated in 2014 in order to create space for those who want to take a break from their everyday works.
Whilst not being as painful as a broken limb, animals like humans suffer from chronic and acute pain from gum infections, broken teeth, and bacterial spread through the circulation. A 16-year-old elephant in Pakistan is one such case. Madhubala, suffering for years from a dental infection caused by a broken tusk, has finally got relief thanks to vets, dentists. Named after a legendary Indian actress, Madhubala's eyes were taped shut, her legs tied to support her during sedation and subsequent treatment at a Karachi zoo. The vets had to use drills and other heavy surgical tools to extract the infected tusk. She is one of four African elephants being treated in Karachi by an eight-member team from Global Animal Welfare Group, Four Paws. A Pakistani court last year asked Four Paws to assess the health of the animals after local animal rights activists raised concerns about their well-being. England's Paradise Wildlife Park welcomes its new guest, an endangered red panda cub. The mother, Tilly, gave birth to the cub just 1 month after she lost her breeding partner, Nampang. Experts say Tilly had been under a breeding project for 4 years. The cub has been named Little Red, and his birth is being celebrated as a, quote, symbol of hope. Red pandas are classed as an endangered species and are on the red list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature. The bushy-tailed bamboo munchers dwell in high-altitude Asian forests, and their population is now fewer than 2,500. Lightning strikes are very powerful and misunderstood force of nature that we all often see being used in films. A spectacular lightning strike has illuminated the sky over the Scottish town of Dundee. A video from an eyewitness that captured the hypnotic scene has been shared on several social media platforms. The lightning in the clip can be seen sending several bolts in opposite directions. Below, a church spire is silhouetted against the lightning flashes. But lightning is not always spectacular, as sometimes it causes fire to tower and high rises. Last month, a wind turbine caught fire after being struck by a lightning bolt in North Texas, United States. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals.
Stunning scenes in Spain as the last supermoon of the year illuminates the night sky amid fireworks and fairs marking the start of festivities for a public holiday. In Malaga, fireworks left the sky a mix of colors against the bright moon. There was also a spectacle of drones that lightened the sturgeon moon. Locals in the Canary Islands also celebrated the three-day holiday by lighting up a Ferris wheel as the full moon beamed beautifully in the sky. If the moon is within 10% of its closest distance to Earth at the moment of full moon, it is called a supermoon. The supermoon has various hues and appears bigger and brighter than when the moon is at its farthest point from Earth.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a 5-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new, as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So typical days, we get here, we make our round. We start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also noticed the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
technology helps transform the global food production system and mitigates its impact on the environment. China's autonomous region of Tibet is turning barren land into fertile one using greenhouse technology. Once removed, Beinan County is now the largest off-season vegetable supplier in Tibet. The region has taken advantage of its highland conditions to develop a state-of-the-art agricultural structure. Beinan has now more than 2,200 modern vegetable greenhouses and nearly 12,000 hectares of planting area, some built at unimaginable altitude. But one cannot deny the role of railways and highway transport for making this county a hub for organic vegetables. The income of locals has also been significantly improved, and they are now living a happy and prosperous life. If you're a private collector of wild animals, there is good news for you. A Pakistani zoo is auctioning off a dozen lions due to a lack of money to feed them and a space to house them. Lahore Safari Zoo currently has so many big cats that they have to take turns accessing paddocks. Officials say auctioning them will free up space and also reduce expenses. Zoo is currently housing 29 lions. The lions auctioned this week will be between 2 to 5 years of age. Each big cat is estimated to fetch around 150,000 Pakistan rupees. That's not too much, as some zookeepers claim. Even conservationists have expressed anger over auctioning lions to private collectors instead of transferring them to other zoos. Happy news for zoo goers in Nicaragua. Two adorable baby tapirs are born at a country's national zoo south of Managua, adding attractions to the visitors. Two endangered tapirs, a male and a female, were born hours apart at the weekend. In a video shared by the zoo, one of the newborns is seen suckling and walking near her mother. The director of the zoo says the babies are yet to be named but are in perfect health. Tapirs inhabit jungle and forest regions of South and Central America, with one species inhabiting Southeast Asia. They look something like pigs with trunks, but they are actually related to horses and rhinos. Nicaragua launched a project that seeks to conserve this animal in danger of extinction due to hunting and the destruction of natural habitat. Now we'll take you to mine-riddled French island, Chazoms, which is emerging from the ruins and gradually turning into workers' paradise. Chazoms, close to the port city of Saint-Malo, has an amazing landscape but remains uninhabited as it saw a devastating bombardment by the Allies during the World War II. The Nazi-occupied island was victim of the most bombings per square meter. Known as Martyred and Forbidden Island, it was opened only in 2018 after extensive demining efforts allowed the opening of a marked path. Now, every year, thousands of day trippers make the short boat journey, marveling at the spectacular maritime views and flourishing wildlife there. The safe area still makes up just 3% of the island, but it lets visitors wander between rusty cannons and bunkers. Some workers say they hope the trail will be lengthened to allow a complete tour of the island.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Through the same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam. Allah's peace be upon all of you. Thank you very much for joining us. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we're going to speak about crying for Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to join us.
كربلاء لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى
كربلاء لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى كربلاء كربلاء.
Today, Monday, is the 24th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Murdad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Al-Furqan, verse 54, which we listen to.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وهو الذي خلق من الماء بشرا فجعله نسبا وصهرا وكان ربك قديرا.
And it is he who has created from semen a human being and made him a relative by lineage and marriage, and ever is your Lord competent concerning creation.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
According to a tradition, this verse is sent down about the Prophet and Imam Ali, peace be upon them. For the Prophet married his daughter Fatima off to Ali. Therefore, Ali, peace be upon him, was both the cousin of the Prophet and the spouse of his daughter. These narrations are some clear extensions of the verse, and they do not prevent generality of the meaning of the verse. This verse includes any relationship that is created by the way of blood and marriage, and one of its clear extensions is the bilateral relationship of Ali and Prophet, peace be upon them. The earth and sky shed no tears for oppressors. In the Holy Quran, Allah refers to the drowning of Pharaoh and his army as follows. In the Holy Quran, Allah, the Almighty, says, "And neither heaven nor earth shed a tear over them, nor were they given a respite again." This holy verse proves that crying over the unjust is not permissible, but those who are just and have been treated unfairly can be cried and lamented over. This verse proves that there are certain people in the world upon whom the heaven and the earth weep. That is why Allah refers to the people of Pharaoh, who were not from amongst those people who are cried upon by the heaven and the earth, but they are some other dear creatures of Allah.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with shedding tears in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We find that, such kind of lamentation cannot be limited only to, for example, the anniversary of the martyrdom of an infallible or a great personality. Rather, for example, in the case of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the 40th day of his martyrdom, that is Arba'in, is also commemorated very ardently. Other cultures or traditions, other peoples do have similar occasions. When they commemorate the death of their beloved people. Now, what's indicated here in this connection is that on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, we shed tears, we practice chest beating, or for example, we join commemorative sessions and so on, simply to renew, to have the news and the messages renewed to us. This is one point. Another point is that by showing our sympathy to such practices, and at the same time, by getting involved in such ceremonies, we not only do we show our loyalty, rather, we are going to receive some more information. Right from our childhood, we have informally, in the form of, within the frame of informal education, we have received many lessons from the life and times of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Granted that not everybody, not all Shi'is are expected to know all the nooks and corners of the life and times of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, at least the overall ceremony and the overall tragedy is well known to all Shi'is and to a large extent to all Muslims in the whole Islamic world. In this connection, when we join such mournful commemorative sessions and ceremonies, we intend to show our sympathy. We intend to show to both to ourselves and to others that we are still true believers in the character, career, and the missions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and we do believe in his deeds, in his great achievements.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah. The history and philosophy of Azza al-Hussein we're going to speak about.
On one occasion, the poet Ja'far ibn Affan recited to our Imam Sadiq a poem on the tragedy of Karbala. The Imam began to weep uncontrollably. He then addressed the poet in the following terms. O Affan, do not think that it is only those whom you can see here are listening to your poetry. In fact, Allah's closest angels are present here at this majlis, and they are all listening to your recitation, and they too lament and weep. May Allah bless you for what you have recited. He will, inshallah, reward you with paradise for your efforts on our behalf. Azal Hussein was a phenomenon which gripped Muslim conscious immediately after the tragedy of Karbala.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار فلا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
Today's special and the reward for expressing grief over the murder of Imam al-Hussein and his companions. Imam Reza, peace be upon him, said, He who deems the day of Ashura as a day of tragedy, who grieves and weeps, Allah the Glorious shall make the day of judgment a day of joy and happiness for him. Imam Baghir, peace be upon him, also said, He who remembers us or in whose presence we are remembered and as a result shed tears, sheds eyes, even though they may be in the measure of wing of a mosquito, Allah shall construct for him a house in paradise and make these tears a barrier between him and the fire of the hell. Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Assalamu alaykum ya Abu Abdullah. Peace and salutations be upon you, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I send you my condolences. We talked about incorporating Ziyarat Ashura in our lives, our day-to-day lives. We said that first, a person needs to realize that the core of Ashura is bala, is a test and tribulation that Allah has placed for Imam Hussein, and that he even wanted Imam Hussein to come to Karbala with his family members, with his children, so that he could see them become captives to complete his test and to see what Imam Hussein would do. Alhamdulillah, with his patience, Imam Hussein amazed the angels. The second position we talked about was the position of grieving for Imam Hussein, the position of sorrow. You cannot expect to benefit from Ashura while you're very happy and very joyful during this time period. When you have huzn, when you have grief, when you wear black and you basically you're showing and displaying your grief for Imam Hussein, then you will have, inshallah, the mercy and the bounties that a musab, a person that affliction and calamity happen upon them, will receive. Third, we talked about the maqam of silm and the maqam of lan in harb, meaning that we approach Imam Hussein, we come to his tent, we take away all our bad actions, all our bad habits, and we do whatever Imam Hussein and his companions did. What did they do in the night of Ashura? They were praying and worshipping towards God. Therefore, we leave everything else from our hearts besides the worship of God. Once this is done, our actions are full of fulfilling God's commands. Our hearts are full of God's remembrance. We reach, as we do the dua in Ziyarat Ashura, that Allah gives us al-maqam al-mahmud, the praiseworthy station, the station of the Holy Prophet, the position of Imam Hussein. And it is then that we begin to truly enjoy life. And this is the effect of spirituality, this al-maqam al-mahmud.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep us in your prayers and morning gatherings. في أمان الله.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.